Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Assalamu alaikum. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn and at the fall of dusk. As a young man, I worked in Chicago communities where many found dignity and peace in their Muslim faith. As a student of history, I also know civilization's debt to Islam.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. The Middle East is burning, and the left wing is cheering. The Middle East is burning, and Obama is strangely silent, or is he? Welcome to the Savage Nation. This may prove to be the most difficult show I've done in a very long time, because I'm trying to contain and maintain an awful lot of ideas all at once. It just came out that the protests in Egypt have frankly been orchestrated by both the Bush and the Obama administration. The Telegraph UK just reported that America's secretly been backing rebel leaders behind the uprising in Egypt. We just read that the American Embassy in Cairo helped a young dissident attend the U.S.-sponsored summit for so-called activists in New York City while keeping his identity secret from Egyptian state police. He returned to Cairo not under Obama, but in December of 08, while our treasury was being filched by Paulson and company, Bush et al., the activist was being coached by the U.S. State Department in a plan to overthrow President Hosni Mubarak and install a so-called democratic government in 2011. Now, let me pause right there. At the same time this is all going on, the giddy fools on MSNBC and CNN are sitting there cheering the burning of the streets of Cairo. They're saying that there's going to be a wonderful democracy that arises. Now, either these fools do not know what happened in Iran when Obama's predecessor, Jimmy Carter, did the same thing. Jimmy Carter called for reforms in Iran, and boy, did he get reforms. He undermined the Shah of Iran, who was a brutal dictator, because the Iranian people needed a brutal dictator in order to keep the Islamists under control. And what happened was Jimmy Carter was a, shall I say, dreamer, an idealist, utopian idealist, combined with his socialist leanings. And he said, well, democracy would be better than this dictator in Iran. So let me let the people have a revolution. We'll undermine the Shah of Iran, our greatest ally in Iran. And what happened next? The murderous Khomeini came back from exile in Paris, came back to Iran, and the virus of radical Islam was put in place. We wound up with hundreds of U.S. hostages for a very long period of time. You're watching history repeat itself, only this time it's not Jimmy Carter. This time it is Barack Hussein Obama. As I say, Egypt is in flames as the Islamist organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood attempt to overthrow the government of Egypt. The vermin at CNN and MSNBC is saying the Muslim Brotherhood is not behind it. That is nonsense. The morons in the midstream media are sitting there egging them on. The left would rather see Sharia law imposed over Egypt, ruled by the Muslim Brotherhood, than tolerate a strong leader who can hold his country together in the face of the Islamo-fascist threat. The root of all this is the WikiLeaks fiasco. the leftists at WikiLeaks released diplomatic cables that contributed to the revolution which occurred first in Tunisia. This then set Egypt on edge. They were pushed over the edge by what the WikiLeaks cables revealed to the world. What were they? It turns out that none other than Hillary Clinton was pushing very hard for so-called human rights in Egypt where this was not feasible. Do you understand why it's not feasible? Do you understand that democracy cannot thrive in a nation that is fundamentally not ready for it? In an ominous foreboding, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak feared that just such a situation might occur. He worried that the push from the United States for human rights would destabilize the Islamic nation, would encourage the Islamic revolution that deposed the Shah of Iran in 1980. It turns out that Mubarak was 100% right. And remember this, should the Muslim Brotherhood seize control of the streets of Egypt, should they topple the government in Yemen, should the Islamic fundamentalists control both Egypt and Yemen, they will then control both sides of the Suez Canal. You haven't heard that yet on the media. You haven't yet seen that anywhere. But God forbid that day comes when the Islamic fundamentalists control both Egypt and Yemen. They will then control both ends of the Suez Canal. And we will see how the Prius peons deal with $10 or $15 a gallon gasoline. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Again, I've got to go back to the main point. Mubarak, a dictator, but our ally. Mubarak has brought stability to Egypt for a very long period of time. Mubarak, in peace with Israel. Do you assume that the Muslim Brotherhood, if they get control of the Egyptian army, are going to stay at peace with Israel? Well, now you understand what's going on a little bit more, don't you? Now you understand why the leftists in our government want the radical Islamists to take over Egypt. They'd like to see Israel forced to give back the West Bank, so-called, so that there can be peace in the Middle East. That's their plan at the State Department, as though that will bring peace in the Middle East. It will not bring peace in the Middle East. It will bring further bloodshed in the Middle East. It will bring a nuclear war to the Middle East. But President Obama's push for democratic reforms, my friends, is either a form of Fabian socialism or a form of treason. I do not know the difference at this point. Here we had Secretary of State Hillary Clinton speaking on Friday while anti-government protests were rocking Egypt for a fourth day, and she was saying it was absolutely vital for Cairo to embrace political and social change as the United States has been pushing for years. Is she out of her mind? Is she out of her mind? Social change is what Jimmy Carter wanted in Iran. And what happened was into that vacuum came Ayatollah Khomeini, the radical Islamist. The hostages were taken. They were kept hostage for years, the U.S. hostages. And this is what's going to happen again. Mubarak saw what was coming. Mubarak said that this pressure from Clinton and Obama was ill-advised. He believed that this push for reform in the Middle East had produced colossal mistakes in the past, from the ouster of the Shah of Iran to the election of Hamas Islamists in Gaza. Remember, the Hamas Islamists in Gaza were elected democratically. I should also add that Hitler was elected democratically, by the way. So the cable said that we've heard from Mubarak, he's lamenting the results of early U.S. efforts to encourage reform in the Islamic world. He remembers back to the Shah of Iran, they said. The U.S. encouraged the Shah to accept reforms, only to watch Iran fall into the hands of revolutionary religious maniacs. Wherever Mubarak has seen these U.S. efforts for democracy, he sees chaos and the loss of stability. This all came out in the WikiLeaks cables, which leads me back to the whole scenario of WikiLeaks. I am more and more convinced that they're orchestrated by the U.S. government. They would never have happened had they not been permitted to be released by the U.S. government. I believe that this government is behind WikiLeaks. That is why you see nothing about issues that would not advance the leftist cause around the world. But that's a topic for another day. Right now, you have to understand. You have to understand something. The Muslim Brotherhood is Egypt's largest opposition group. It favors a return to fundamentalist Islamic rules, as you see in Iran. Now, you say, well, we should support democracy. That's why the good people at MSNBC and the good people in the media are calling for democracy, and the happy young people who are texting and Facebooking each other to go out in the streets, and all they want is a representative government. Really? Where were they when the people were trying to overthrow the Hitler of our time 2 years ago, Ahmadinejad, of Iran? There was a movement in the streets of Iran, yet the vermin at MSNBC, the vermin at CNN said nothing about it. They weren't celebrating the attempts at democracy in Iran at that time, were they? They had nothing negative to say about Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, but they have a lot of hate to say about Mubarak. How is it possible that they hate Mubarak and they love Ahmadinejad? How is it that anti-religionists in America, secularists, pot-smoking lunatic leftists, have a love for a fascist Islamic dictator like Ahmadinejad? How is that possible? If you don't see the connection between worldwide socialism and radical Islam yet, you will see it very soon. Now, I have given you an awful lot of information thus far, and I realize that many of you know that there's riots going on. There are riots going on in Egypt. You're not quite sure what's going on, and you're not sure which side you're on. I think the best thing for me to do would be to pause right now, take your calls when I come back, and further elucidate exactly what is going on in Egypt and what's at stake for you. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Savage.
Reform is absolutely critical to the well-being of Egypt. As a partner, we strongly believe that the Egyptian government needs to engage immediately with the Egyptian people in implementing needed economic, political, and social reforms.
Now, this very same talk, this utopian idealism, led to the overthrow of the Shah of Iran back in 1980 and the arrival on the scene of a fundamentalist named Ayatollah Khomeini, who had been sent in exile to Paris. He returned to Iran, and he instituted the virus of radical Islam around the globe. The fact of the matter is, if Hillary Clinton doesn't know that, then she's not equipped to be the Secretary of State. If she does know that, then why does she want the same thing to happen in Egypt? I heard a lunatic on MSNBC saying that the evil U.S. government is propping up a dictator in Egypt. We're also propping up a dictatorship in Jordan. We're propping up a dictatorship in Saudi Arabia. Do these fools not understand what waits should these so-called dictatorships fall? Do they have no idea what awaits the world should that happen? New York, WOR, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please. Okay, that man is gone. Thanks for that. Nina in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I lived in Iran during the revolution. I was a very young girl. I'm 49 now, and I came to America in 1983, the very first time Ayatollah allowed people to leave legally. I witnessed Ayatollah's lives, killing all the Persian people and the young people without allowing a funeral. And what they did.
So, in other words, you tasted the evil of radical Islam when you were living in Iran. And although the radical left hated the Shah of Iran, I remember the story about Savak, but they never talked about the abuses afterwards of the tortures of the fundamentalists, did they? All they did was talk about Savak and the Iranian dictatorship of the Shah, who was the best ally America ever had in Iran, by the way.
Yes, and what happens to Egypt now is breaking my heart. Leave these countries alone, because I witnessed what happened in Iran and what is going on now. These people are...
But how could this idiotic administration of ours call for the very same thing that happened to Iran to happen in Egypt? Are they insane, or do they want another revolution to occur there? And if so, are they on the side of the Islamists? That's the only question that's running through my mind today.
Without some government backing up the people in Iran, there would be no revolution in Iran, because they weren't on their own organized enough. And that's why the second time when they called, they killed that young girl, Neda.
So you're saying that Jimmy Carter helped the Islamists overthrow the Shah, just as the Obama administration is helping overthrow Mubarak? Are we seeing history repeat itself again?
Yeah,
Are these people that myopic that they don't know what they're doing? It's astounding to me. Just astounding to watch this. I watch the world burn, and I see them celebrating it on television. Today, the worst was a guy on MSNBC from the Washington Post who took the side of the most vehement anti-Americans in clip 26. Listen to this.
Americans think we're on the side of freedom in the world, and they don't understand why there's a lot of anti-American sentiment in the world. A moment like this, when you see entire population feeling liberated and feeling like it's going to overcome its fear and muster the courage to take on a regime that suppressed it for so long and denied from it the kind of opportunities that, that many of us take for granted, even with the inequities in our society, it's not sustainable to have U.S. government after U.S. government, no matter of what party, being on the wrong side of these aspirations. So how we ride the tiger at this moment is going to be very...
Okay, turn this moron off. He used every left-wing college code word, feel liberated, repressed, suppressed. The word sustainable was thrown in there. Again, anti-Americanism. Shame on General Electric. Shame on Mr. Immelt. Shame on that entire corporation for letting these rat vermin anti-Americans spew their anti-American hatred on MSNBC. Shame on you, Mr. Immelt. Shame on the entire General Electric Corporation for letting these rats put down the United States of America on a daily basis for a stinking dollar. Shame on you, Mr. Immelt. I blame you for this, for putting these lunatics on the air. Kansas City, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, the American public seems to forget that Anwar Sadat was assassinated by the Muslim Brotherhood. And remember seeing it on television.
They don't even know who Anwar Sadat was. They don't remember his assassination by the loving Muslim Brotherhood that stands to gain as a result of the United States media being in cahoots with the radical Islamists. Because, I keep repeating, the wedding between communism and radical Islam went on a long time ago. It was a secret wedding, but I happen to have been there. I've been around an awful long time. And that wedding has produced the devil.
Savage.
These are human rights, and the United States will stand up for them everywhere. I also call upon the Egyptian government to reverse
the socialist in chief. Listen to what he's saying live now.
Cell phone service and to social networks that do so much to connect people in the 21st century.
Are you crazy?
At the same time, those protesting in the streets have a responsibility to express themselves peacefully.
Are you nuts?
Violence and destruction will not lead to the reforms that they seek. Now, going forward, this moment of volatility has to be turned into a moment of promise.
Oh,
the
my
United
God.
States has a close partnership with Egypt, and we've cooperated
no kidding.
On many issues.
That you had nothing to do with.
To
All you're doing is destroying a partnership
region.
That was built over 30
but
years.
We've also been clear that there must be reform.
Why?
Political,
what reform?
Social and economic reforms that meet
economic
the aspirations
reform.
Of the Egyptian people.
What does that mean?
In the
what does that mean?
Reforms,
so General Electric can do more business in Egypt? What is this about?
When President Mubarak addressed the Egyptian people tonight, he pledged a better democracy and greater economic opportunity. I just spoke to him after his speech, and I told him he has a responsibility to give meaning to those words, to take concrete steps and actions that deliver on that promise. Violence will not address the grievances of the Egyptian people. And suppressing
grievances.
Ideas never
Here is the community organizer now using community organizational, mentality for a nation of Egypt, which is flooded with the Muslim Brotherhood. This is astounding. We're listening to the biggest mistake in U.S. diplomatic history.
Of greater freedom and greater opportunity. And justice for the
this
Egyptian people.
This fool, this pinheaded
now,
fool running this country, does not either doesn't know his history or he's on the side
Egyptian
of radical
people.
Islam. There's no two ways
the
about
Egyptian
it.
People want the same things that we all want. A better life for ourselves and our children.
What the heck does that mean?
And a government that is fair and just and responsive.
This is the rhetoric you would have heard from the Black Panthers in the streets of America in the 1960s.
The heirs to a great and ancient civilization. The United States always will be a partner in pursuit of that future, and we are committed to working with the Egyptian government and the Egyptian people, all quarters, to achieve it. Around the world, governments have an obligation to respond to their citizens.
Oh, really? Did you respond to your citizens when we said no more spending, no more goons, no more unionism, no more stealing from the treasury? You liar, you!
Where a new generation of citizens has the right to be heard.
How about this generation in this country? We have a right to not be fleeced by you and your union thugs.
Maintain power through consent, not coercion. That is the single standard by which the people of Egypt will achieve the future they deserve.
Have you ever heard a bigger liar in your life than this man?
But the United States,
a more myopic president, never existed.
The rights of the Egyptian people, and work with their government in pursuit of a future that is more just, more free, and more hopeful.
The community organizer. There it was, ladies and gentlemen. You just heard it. You just heard it with your own ears. If only we had the freedoms in this country that he was talking about, that he'd like to see for the democracy movement in Egypt. I'm going to tell you something that you may not like to hear, but I'll say it anyway. How come there's been no such mass riots in the United States of America, where there is probably more discord than there is in Egypt? There are more people disenfranchised from this imposter and the thugs who have taken over this country and are raping the treasury on a daily basis. There's more discord in America over what this thug and his minions are doing to this country and its treasury than there is in Egypt. And yet there's been no social upheaval. Why is that? And I'll tell you why. Something you're not going to want to hear. The Egyptian people are less afraid of the secret police than we are afraid of our secret police. We are so controlled in this country by the FBI, by DHS, and every other police agency in this country, that there's almost no opportunity for such a so-called social networking revolution to occur in this country. You heard me. We are living in an absolute police state. Oh, it doesn't look like it. Oh, it doesn't feel like it. Then explain to me how so many people are disenfranchised by the imposter, his union goons, the Wall Street goons, and do nothing about it. How is it that one of the hedge fund traders took a $5 billion profit last year, one of the people who orchestrated the downturn of the economy? How is it possible that the last Treasury Secretary is not in jail? How is it possible that the people who were put in power to protect us did nothing to protect us, and now they're not even investigated? How is it possible that we, the American people, have not organized ourselves in the same way the Egyptians have? The answer is because they're less afraid of their secret police than we are of our secret police. We are terrified of our FBI. We are terrified of our DHS. We are terrified of all of these snoops and these satellites who are watching us every day. This country is a lockdown police state, and people fear for their freedom if they even speak out, let alone act out. They're afraid to say what they think at work. They're afraid to say what they think in their own house for fear their children will report them in a school. You tell me we're not living in a prison state? You're mistaken. And so when I hear this imposter of our president get up there with that thin little speech of his that he just gave, I'm sick. Which side was he on? You tell me which side Obama was just on. He was on the side of the rioters. He is on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood. He is on the side of radical Islam. Make no mistake about it, my friends. There's no other way to see it. He should have been supporting our ally in Egypt. He should have come out clearly and said that we will not tolerate the takeover of Egypt by radical forces. We will supply the U.S. military, if necessary, to protect our most important ally on the Suez Canal. We do not want destabilization in the Middle East. Our friends in Israel and our friends in Egypt are our friends now and forever, and we will support them even with the U.S. military, and I'm sending whatever to Egypt right now. He should have unleashed a contingent of military forces, Marines if necessary, to help the Egyptian government. Instead, it almost sounded as though he wanted the government to fall. I am telling you, this happened before. We're watching history repeat itself. Jimmy Carter, the communist. Jimmy Carter, the lifetime America hater. Jimmy Carter, the Jew hater, did this back in 1980 with the Shah of Iran. It is history repeating itself. Many of you weren't around then, or you were children, or you don't even remember it. I'm lucky because I've been around a very long time. And I've seen it all. It's like watching the world go around again. I thought we would have learned from history, but apparently we haven't learned from history. And I have to repeat the great statement of the Spanish philosopher Santayana, who said, "Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it." Now, either Obama is as shallow as I think he is, or worse, he's in cahoots with the radicals around the world. I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter to me anymore. I think Obama's on the wrong side of this issue. I'd like to talk with you about it today on the Savage Nation. I am ashamed of my president. I think he owes the people of the world an apology for what he just said, and I'd like to hear what you have to say. Let's go to Miami, Florida. Judy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm so ashamed of this president. I can't even stand to watch him. He's a liar. He has no soul. Look in his eyes. There is no soul there. He is definitely destroying the whole world, not only America. He just...
Whatever he touches, the man seems to set things alight.
Terrible.
What does he think is going to happen with the so-called democracy movement in Egypt? And where was he when there was a democracy movement in Iran? Why didn't he open his mouth then? How come he didn't have a word to say when the Iranians were trying to overthrow the Hitler of our time? Why did he not say one negative word about Ahmadinejad? And why did he not support the democracy movement in Iran? There's only one answer. Because he doesn't want the Iranian democracy movement to thrive. But he does want the Muslim Brotherhood to thrive in Egypt.
That's right. Not only that, Michael, but this all came in 40 years ago when we started with this socialized medicine. I'm a nurse, and I watched them dumb everybody down with the drugs, and I have to quit and do other things. You can't get your own. I like alternative.
Judy, I know you mean well, and I agree with you. I believe that Medicare was one of the greatest disasters in American history. It's not only bankrupting America, it's also poisoned most of America with unnecessary drugs. But that's a topic for another day. I thank you for the call. Rich in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Oh, let me tell you something, Mike. I'm on my way home. I wanted to throw up listening to what was just going on here. And I will tell you, I got to believe, Israel...
Did you hear that thin-minded community organizer from Chicago, so out of his league? Did you hear this man? Is that a president who just spoke? The world is burning in the Middle East, and he's on the side of the rioters.
Israel's got to be on high alert at this moment in time.
This could trigger a nuclear war, okay? God forbid the Muslim Brotherhood takes over the Egyptian army. What the hell is Obama going to do then? Say he's going to celebrate democracy?
I am ex-Navy. My sister-in-law is a lieutenant colonel in the army, has done 3 tours in Iraq, and her next one's in Afghanistan. God help us if this is a hotbed waiting to happen.
Can you believe that this man is a so-called commander-in-chief? Can anyone listening to this show tell me that they thought that was a presidential speech that community organizer just gave?
I think he's more like, you know those ventriloquist guys, you know, they get the hand up the back and the mouth just moves and there's no emotions anywhere. That's the way.
Something is wrong with this picture. There's much more to this picture than meets the eye. And I think that we're going to find some very ugly truths in the very near future. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The legitimate grievances that have festered for quite some time in Egypt have to be addressed by the Egyptian government immediately.
Oh, and shut the hell. Get him off my show. This is a human gefilte fish with a pair of carrot eyes. What a fool. Just mouthing something that some communist wrote for him in the White House. Get off the stage already. Go cash in your chips. You prostitute, you. They aspire for more democracy, more effort to combat unemployment and poverty and combat corruption. So do I. I'd like to see that done in the United States of America. Let's start by combating the corruption in the Obama administration. Let's start by combating the corruption in Nancy Pelosi's regime. Let's talk about the hours logged on Air Force jets by Nancy Pelosi. Let's talk about the billions of dollars stolen by the Wall Street gang. Let's talk about the remedies to the widespread poverty in the United States of America. Let's talk about the lack of democracy in the United States of America. Let's talk about the unemployment in the United States of America. Where do they come off talking about Egypt when they can't manage this country? Joe in Texas, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, and when I was 17 years old in 1956, I left high school and joined the United States Navy to fight over the Suez Canal Zone at the time. And I went out and confronted the world with it, and we thought we had it all settled at that time, way back in 1956. But apparently...
Do these liberals understand what happens if their friends in the gutters of Cairo seize power, and then the vacuum is filled by the very vicious Muslim Brotherhood, who will absolutely seize the moment, seize the opportunity, take control of the protest movement, and then if this happens in Yemen, the radical fundamentalists will control both ends of the Suez Canal. Do they have any idea what it will cost them to drive their Priuses to their next community organizing meeting?
Well, they don't even understand that if they lose the Suez Canal and we lose the Panama Canal, they have to go around the Cape Horn and the Capes and to go from one ocean to the other.
Joe, they don't even know where the oceans are. All they know is how to text each other. They don't know where the Cape Horn is. Thank you for your service to America. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. There are so many callers, and they're such good ones. I believe Mubarak should crack down as fast as possible. I'm glad he closed down the internet. Where is it said that you can use an internet to overthrow a government? Where is it said you should use an internet to overthrow a government? That's a good thing. What, every government should just be overthrown by the internet? So what is Savage calling for? The United States government to seize our internet? No, I didn't say that. We're not Egypt, are we? They don't need to seize the internet to control you. You are controlled. You are so afraid of the FBI, the CIA, the DIA, every intelligence agency in this country that you don't dare. You don't dare organize in this country because they'll set you up faster than you can say Randy Weaver. They'll set you up so fast you won't even know what hit you in this country. The secret police in this country have far more control over the people than the Egyptian secret police do. But let's stick to Egypt right now. Here we have chaos in the streets. Here we have a stable ally in the Middle East. Here we have a country at peace with Israel, our number one ally in the Middle East. Are you people insane to believe that the Muslim Brotherhood who assassinated Sadat is going to sit on the sidelines should Mubarak be forced into exile or killed? Do you not comprehend what will happen? Do you not see what is going on? And again, the hypocrisy is disgusting. You're all speaking about democracy and you're mocking everybody who says Mubarak should be supported. Well, where were you when the people in Iran 2 years ago were trying to shake the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad? How come you didn't say a word about it? And all of you fraudulent human rights concerners, why didn't you say a word a few weeks ago when Christian Coptic churches were blown up and thousands of Egyptians killed over the last year or two in Egypt? Where were you then? Where was your concern? On the internet, and it's on radio, it's on television. There is no question in my mind that the left wing is out to destroy this country's freedoms. There's no question they're on the side of dictatorships. There's no question they're against freedom. There's no question that they're on the side of destroying my liberty. And I've got to say everything I believe to be true on this program while I am still able to do it. We are fighting for our very survival in this country. If you believe that what Obama said about 15 minutes ago is the mark of a leader who has some concept of what's really going on in the world, you are mistaken. I heard a radical community organizer from Chicago with the same tired, thin rhetoric of the 1960s that I listened to on campuses 30 and 40 years ago. The same garbage, the same crap, the same arguments about disenfranchisement and unemployment and rights. I heard the garbage. I heard it over and over and over again. Now, if the man really meant it, it would be one thing. You believe he really means it? You actually believe he's on the side of the downtrodden? Are you crazy? You haven't learned yet who Obama is by now? 2 years after Pelosi took over the country? You didn't see what she did to the country? My head is spinning from this. Ann in Portland, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
That was exactly my comment to your screener. My head is spinning. I had a visceral response to that speech, and I have several comments about it.
You mean Obama's community organizer speech?
Yeah, I am shaking, and I'm feeling sick to my stomach, and I am so frightened that I can't believe.
We are watching the Middle East burn, and we have a man in the White House who's on the side of the rioters, celebrating the riots and the rioters as though they're freedom fighters.
Man, he's a child in a man's body. I don't understand, and this is not a rhetorical question. Why would anybody be interested in what he had to say?
He's the president of the United States. That's why. He has command of the most powerful military on earth, which he should have used to help Mubarak during this time of Islamic revolution going on in Egypt. You don't have to be a genius to see who's behind this.
No, but he sounded like a principal in an elementary school telling children not to have food fights and not to do this and not to do that while the whole lot of them are doing it right in front of his face. I mean,
yeah, they're really going to listen to him, in other words. Like the rioters who were setting the country on fire are going to listen to them.
The lack of sophistication, both in his words and delivery, I don't know. I can't understand.
Have you seen the left-wing networks like CNN showing canisters of tear gas that were being used by the Egyptian military to control these hordes, showing that there was tear gas made in the U.S. as though that was a bad thing? They are on the side of the rioters. They are on the side of chaos. They are on the side of radical Islam who will seize the moment. Am I the only one in the world who sees this? God help me if I am.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In Indonesia, and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn and at the fall of dusk. As a young man, I worked in Chicago communities where many found dignity and peace in their Muslim faith. As a student of history, I also know civilization's debt to Islam.
Shall I say it's coming home to roost? The Middle East is burning, and our community organizer is on the side of the rioters in the street. Instead of saying that we're going to be on the side of our ally for the last 30 years, something that the community organizer had nothing to do with, by the way, instead of saying this must stop, instead of saying we're going to seek reforms, but first we must stop the rioting and the burning and the looting, which is what's going on, instead of saying we're going to send whatever aid Mubarak needs, the man took the side of the rioters as though this was a good thing. And on MSNBC and CNN, they're cheering almost giddily the rioting in the streets of the Middle East. Do they not understand what will occur? Do they not follow what will follow? Now, you read some of the comments underneath the story about what's going on in Egypt, and you see the foolishness of the people. Listen to this. Here's one from the San Francisco newspaper. It says, "This protest almost is becoming a revolution, one led by the young secular populists using social media and following on the heels of Tunisia. Maybe Algeria will be next. This is incredible stuff," ! Young secular populists using social media. Buzzwords again. It's just like the bicycle gangs that block the streets on a Friday night, assuming that that's a good thing, causing chaos. You don't understand who's behind most of this. You think the social chaos going on in America is occurring by chance? Do you understand that there are communists in this country who for 40 years have been training people in social chaos? Do you know that there's a ruckus camp in Berkeley, California, run by longtime adult communists? Ruckus camp on how to strangle traffic, how to tie up a nation. Okay, so you say, what does that have to do with Egypt? Well, look what look what happened in this country as a result of social networks. Take a look at what we have in the White House now as a result of the young and the foolish and the uneducated. Take a look at what we have in the White House today. The shill for the bankers on Wall Street. The shill for the internationalists. But my friends, that's not the issue today. The thievery from Wall Street is a long issue. It's an old issue. But what's going on in the Middle East today is quite another issue. The marriage between communism or socialism, whichever you prefer, and radical Islam occurred a long time ago. It was a secret ceremony. The offspring was the devil. And we're witnessing the offspring today in the media and in the streets of Cairo. Should the fundamentalists in the Muslim Brotherhood, who killed Sadat, by the way, seize the moment? Should they take over this, quote, secular populist movement being conducted by their useful idiot social networking, stupid idiotic 20-year-olds? Should the radical murderers in the Muslim Brotherhood take over the country, which they no doubt would do, should this vacuum arise if Mubarak is forced out of office by Obama's either lack of efforts or direct help of the protesters? Should that happen, and should the Islamists control both Egypt and then Yemen, they will then control both sides of the Suez Canal. And we'll see how these social media networkers will get around in their Priuses when they're paying $15 a gallon for gasoline. Let me take some of your callers on the Savage Nation. There are many things that can be said. I've said some of them, not all of them. If you missed Obama's incredibly, childish, naive, frighteningly vacuous speech that occurred 25 or 30 minutes ago, we will play it again for you in this hour. Norman on WOR in New York, go ahead, please.
I feel deeply, and I believe, and indeed intuitively, that this is a popular uprising. They have the motive. They have the motive for bad conditions. And please stop stereotyping the Jews.
Hold on. So you don't believe that the Muslim Brotherhood will seize power once should Mubarak be thrown out?
That's the roll of the dice. They have a motive. The people have a motive to overthrow that government. And please stop stereotyping.
Wait a minute. No. Don't go over my words. This is my show, not yours. This is not the wife who left you 30 years ago because you wouldn't shut your big fat deli mouth. So listen to me, mister. It's my show. Listen to me, Norman, you communist. You ILGW, you communist from New York. You fool, you. Don't you understand what you're playing with here? You're playing with fire. You don't understand who the Muslim Brotherhood is? Who are they? Who is the Muslim Brotherhood? Do you know who I'm even talking about, Norman?
Am I on?
I asked you, do you know who the Muslim Brotherhood is, Norman?
They're a danger to the standards of the West, some of which are corrupt, like financial hedge funds and derivatives. Maybe they will bring some stability to the financial markets.
So in other words, you're in favor then of Al-Qaeda's methodology of putting women in burqas and killing homosexuals? Is that where you stand, Norman?
Yes.
Is that where your communistic thoughts have led you, Norman? That you are now the very enemy you feared all your life?
Your words, sir, not mine. I believe that...
Wait, what do you mean my words, sir? No, my friend, you just said that. You just said that the radical Muslims will bring stability to the Middle East. Where have they brought stability to the Middle East, Norman?
And I would appreciate if you wouldn't stereotype the Jews.
What do the Jews have to do with this? Where do the Jews come into this?
Sometimes, and it hurts me that you stereotype.
Norman, stop it. You're starting to sound psychotic. And I am not going to tolerate your psychosis on my program. This is not your brother-in-law, Manny, listening to you. Listen to me, Norman. The Jews have nothing to do with this. Why are you dragging them into this?
My voice. God bless you. Better and better.
Okay, a nut. I had a nut now. I guess it... What's the... here it is. It's January 28th. I'm sorry. Obamacare must have cut back on the psycho pills. They didn't arrive yet in Brooklyn. That explains it. It's the end of the month, Norman. I apologize. If you have a medical disability, Norman, and the Obamacare has already clicked in and you didn't get your grifter medication yet to control your insanity, I apologize, Norman. But don't ever call the show again because you have degenerated the dialogue. Norman, you have degenerated the dialogue with your confusion. Let's have some adults call the program with some adult commentary. Houston and Robert. Robert and Houston, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to say that I hope Mubarak cracks down very hard on these demonstrators, and I hope he stands fierce and does it in the most violent way possible. The fact of the matter is Obama is a very weak man. He's got a weak constitution. Roberto Micheletti in Honduras has already proven burning the poorest country, one of the poorest countries in the world. If you stand up to this man, he will fold. And I hope anybody that's in the Egyptian diplomatic corps in this country is hearing me right now. Tell your president to crack down and crack down hard, because Obama will fold and back down in the end.
Okay. It turns out that Obama is behind this. It turns out, if you read the article that just came out about an hour ago in the Telegraph out of the UK, that the American embassy in Cairo helped a young dissident, meaning a young radical, attend the U.S.-sponsored Summit for Activists. What does that mean? Those are code words. Attend the U.S.-sponsored Summit for Activists in New York City while working to keep his identity secret from Egyptian state police. He went back to Cairo in December of 08. The activist told U.S. diplomats that an alliance of opposition groups had drawn up a plan to overthrow Mubarak and to install a democratic government in 2011. Do you actually believe that the vicious murderers in the Muslim Brotherhood who killed Sadat, who are waiting in the wings for these 20-year-old fools to overthrow Mubarak, do you think that they're going to sit on the sidelines and they're going to have a little peaceful revolution and everyone's going to suddenly have a better way of life? Are you that naive to believe that? Mark in New York, what do you think? Go ahead, please.
Mike, the Muslim Brotherhood's role in this whole thing is very similar to the Rahm Emanuel's statement, never let a crisis go to waste. They're taking a populist movement, these, like you just said, these foolish 20-year-old kids. They're going to stage an uprising.
They're waiting in the background because Mubarak has treated them the way they need to be treated. He treated them the way that the Shah of Iran treated the Islamists. He kept them at bay. He arrested them. He kept them away from the population. And yet we had a foolish socialist from New York just call who said, oh, they'll bring stability to the Middle East. You mean putting women in burqas and killing homosexuals is stability?
No, it's not. But the Muslim Brotherhood has an agenda. They want to come in here. They're going to take over. There's similarities. I was listening to K.T. McFarland earlier today, and she drew some parallels between Algeria, Yemen, and Tunisia, that they have countries with extremely high youth populations, very poor economies, low education, lots of frustration. Yeah,
yes, that's all a given fact. But since when has poverty not been a standard in the Middle East? Tell me when poverty's was not a standard in the Middle East. Tell me when poverty didn't exist in the Middle East.
Agreed.
Did poverty just suddenly begin when the Western colonial powers entered the area? They've been starving over there for thousands of years.
Agreed. But the Muslim Brotherhood is taking advantage of this situation, playing these people like pawns.
That's correct. The same way the radical left in this country used social upheaval created by the bankers to put Obama in power. They use so-called social networking. They use Saul Alinsky's tricks. They used all of the tricks of the community organizer to put an unknown shill in power so they can continue raping the treasury and never be called on the carpet. And it's going on to this very day.
Right, that's why I drew the parallel between Rahm Emanuel's comment. This is just the Middle Eastern version of that concept. Never let a crisis go to waste.
How do you explain a man like Rahm Emanuel, who was clearly not a resident of Chicago, being permitted to run for the mayorship by the corrupt Illinois Supreme Court? It's like saying Al Capone could run for the mayorship of Chicago. It's astounding to me. How in the world can they say he's a resident when everyone knows he was in Washington? Are we all that crazy? We are like a banana republic now under this gang that took over the country. Up is down, left is right, true is false, good is bad, bad is good, dirty is clean, clean is dirty. Everything's upside down under this community organizer and his gang. And why did Obama not speak out when the small protest movements broke out in Iran to overthrow the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad? Why has Obama never said a negative word about Ahmadinejad's Hitler-like tactics in Iran? Why has Obama never said one word about the pro-democracy movement in Iran? Where was the left wing at that time? Why did they not speak out in favor of the so-called young and secular people of Iran who wanted their freedom 2 years ago? Why did Obama not speak then? Why was there not a word from the community organizer or his leftist minions then? Why was there no outcry in the Washington Post calling for the overthrow of Ahmadinejad, while right now they seem to be celebrating the imminent overthrow of Mubarak? If you understand the answer to that question, everything will become clear. There is only two answers to that question. One, either liberalism is a mental disorder, or two, liberalism and communism had a marriage in secret several decades ago, and the spawn is the devil. I shall be back. Savage. The Middle East is burning, and the leftists are celebrating it as a popular secular revolution, not understanding that behind it stands Islamic hardliners waiting to seize the opportunity. And who is celebrating this right now? None other than the Hitler of Iran, Ahmadinejad, and his mullahs are celebrating what is going on in Egypt right now, without seeing that the world sees that in their own country there was a popular uprising 2 years ago, which was suppressed by the Hitler of Iran, and they're saying there was no similarity between what happened in Iran 2 years ago and the revolts going on in Egypt. Instead, they're saying the recent upheavals going on in Egypt are exactly what I said at the beginning of this program, the 1979 Islamic Revolution that occurred because Jimmy Carter, one of the teachers of the community organizer now in the White House, did the very same thing to our friend in Iran, the Shah of Iran. Undermined the Shah of Iran, undermined him at every turn, and as a result, Khomeini came back from Paris, and the Islamic Revolution has spread throughout the world. 444 hostages, by the way, were held for years. So you see this in a positive light, do you? You leftists in Brooklyn, New York, you YLGW, you wobblies. Well, then you are now in leagues with the radical mullahs of Iran. Mohammad Javad Larijani, Secretary General of the Iranian Council of Human Rights, which is a front group for the Hitler regime, says, in my opinion, the Islamic Republic of Iran should see these events without exception in a positive light. So Iran is celebrating the looting and the burning going on in Egypt because they know that they're going to win. They're the ones celebrating this, and you leftists in Brooklyn who have everything wrong, and have had everything wrong your entire life. You're on the side of the cop killer, not the cop. You're on the side of the criminal, not the cop. You always talked about legitimate grievances in the 60s, you stupid anti-war protesters. Look where you are today. Look what you're doing to the world. Look who you put in the White House. Take a look at what you've done to my country. And now you're doing it to the Middle East? What do you think is going to come of it? A nuclear war with Israel? Will you then celebrate it as a popular uprising?
Savage.
Where was Obama and Hillary Clinton when there was a nascent democracy movement that tried to live in Iran 2 years ago. They were silent. They did not support it. They let it die. And yet now we hear Obama give a speech where the community organizer sounds as though he's happy that there is rioting and fires and chaos going on in Egypt. There is no way for Egypt to be democratic and also exclude the Islamists from political participation. Let me be very clear. There is no way for Egypt to be democratic and also exclude the Islamists from political participation. Hasn't the U.S. learned this yet from Iraq, where Islamists have dominated all the democratically elected governments that followed Saddam Hussein's ouster? Have we not seen that the big winner in Iraq, Bush's great catastrophe, Bush's folly, Bush's disaster, Iraq, has made Iran much stronger? Have we not seen when the Islamists, the Hamas, won the last Palestinian elections in 2006, held under pressure from Washington? Haven't we seen anything from history? Do we have such fools and such knaves in high places that they don't even know what they're talking about? The fact of the matter is, there cannot be a democratic democratic movement in Egypt which excludes the Islamists from political participation. And if you think that the Islamists and the Muslim Brotherhood are simply going to sit on the sidelines and be happy to just go along with a vote, and if they lose, they lose, if they win, they win, then you're a fool. You're a bigger fool than you think you are. They're a violent group. They killed the last leader of Egypt before Mubarak. If you remember that wonderful leader of Egypt, he was a wonderful pro-Western leader. They shot him right in the front of the eyes, in front of the eyes of the entire world. You forget Sadat being assassinated by the Muslim Brotherhood? No wonder Mubarak has cracked down on them. Of course he's got to put him in a cage like the animals that they are. Now, there's another side story here that must be told. Mubarak is a Muslim. The government is run by Muslims. They're moderate Muslims. They're our friend. And I must tell you that I know the difference between the Islamists and the Muslims. If I have to say it over and over again until you finally hear me, I will say it until you finally do hear me. Last night, I had a long talk with a religious yet moderate Muslim. I went into a cell phone store, a phone that was broken and never worked right. I bought it recently, so I went in, blah, blah, blah. And I said, it keeps saying emergency calls only. So I went into the store and they had changed it a month ago with a new SIM card. They replaced the SIM card. Same thing happened again. I go in there and this time there's a bearded man who would help me. I looked at him and I was talking with him, told him the problem. And he said, well, you'll have to call an 800 help number and they'll replace the phone for you. I said, look, I don't have the time. I'm very busy. Is there any way you could help me with this broken phone? He said, well, it's late at night. I'm the store manager. I'll do this for you once. I'll bend the rules. So as he was trying to fix the phone and replace it, we started to talk. And shortly after we began our dialogue, I looked at his business card on the counter and saw that his name was. I asked him if he was of Indian descent, and he said, no, I'm Pakistani and a Muslim. I looked at him closely, and he said, your voice sounds very familiar. I said, well, I'm sure you know who I am. He said, of course I know you. And he said, why do you hate all Muslims? I said, you know that that's not true. I don't hate all Muslims. It's all about the radical Muslims. Don't you understand, he said to me, when you say things about Muslims, it makes men like me feel as if you're talking about all of us as a single group. I said, I can understand that. It's a very delicate balance. And I'm sure men like you have more to fear from the radical Islamists than I do. He said, you are 100% right about that. Well, it took a long while for him to transfer the card on my phone. And the conversation went on and on for quite a while. And he said to me, you know, one of the things I like about your show is that what you say about liberals is what I say about liberals. He said, do you know that I have liberal Muslims in my family? He said that there are liberal Muslims that are very much like liberal Americans. And he said they're the worst curse for the Muslim religion. Those are his words. I said, what do you mean the worst curse? Isn't the worst curse the radicals who want to bomb people? He said, yeah, they're one branch of the worst curse of Islam. But another branch, in his opinion, were the liberals, the liberal Muslims, who say that gay marriage is okay, pornography is okay, degeneracy is okay. He said, as you describe it, the sewer pipe of Hollywood, which we don't want in our homes and we don't want it in the Muslim countries. He said the liberal Muslims are a greater threat to stability to the world, in particular Pakistan, where he came from, than you can imagine. We both shared a chuckle as he continued to fiddle with my phone. He went on. He said to me, there are many varieties of Muslims. He said it's not just moderate Muslim and fanatic Muslim. He said the liberals are a greater threat to Pakistan. While he didn't want to hurt or convert anyone, he just wanted to be left alone to practice his religion. He said, when you say moderate Muslim, understand that there are many varieties of moderate Muslim. There are moderate Muslims who are not religious, but who are still fanatics and who would bomb somebody to convert them to Islam. He said, then there are other moderate Muslims like him who are very religious, but are not violent and do not want to harm anybody. And then there are moderate Muslims who just want to be left alone and are basically like fallen Catholics who don't even practice their religion. He said, so there's a whole variety of moderate Muslims in both America and Pakistan. He said, the most important thing I want to tell you is that when you speak about Muslims, you should be very careful to separate, not to include all into one lump. And I said to him, when a bomb goes off, how do you feel? He said, I'm just as frightened of them as you are. I'm just as terrified as you are. But it's terrible when you appear to lump all of us together. I said, that's absolutely true. But how do you think it feels as an American to be lumped together as an infidel? I think he was puzzled by that. He said many Muslims are also dangerous because they use the religion for self-advancement. They use Islam as a political tool. They don't really believe, nor do they follow the teachings. For them, religion is a political weapon, he said to me. The conversation went on. He explained to me that many things he had heard that I had said over the years on the show, or he had read that I had written, he agreed with, except, of course, the issues of Israel. But when it came to social values, family values, he said he's in total accord with Michael Savage. And he went on. It was a very illuminating conversation for me in many ways, because looking at the man, you could certainly stereotypically put his picture on that of a, let's say, textbook terrorist. Large man, black beard, intelligent eyes. And here he was, a nice married man with three children going to the university. He wanted to raise a family and do it the right way and not have his children infected with the sewer pipe of Hollywood, infecting the minds of his children and defacing the value of women. It was a very interesting conversation for that reason as well. It was also heated at times, but it was never angry. At the end, the man said to me, all I really want is peace on earth. I said, who doesn't? I said, I'd like peace in my household, never mind peace on earth. He laughed at that. He said, you know, I believe we Muslims believe in peace. We Muslims believe in all of the prophets, including Jesus, Christ, and Moses. And he said, we respect other religions. I said, that is beautiful to hear. Of course, I had known that. But truthfully, if you don't meet it face to face, you don't really know anything. At the end of the day, as he was tinkering with my phone, replacing the SIM card and transferring the numbers, I think we both went away feeling a little less stereotypical about each other. I was enlightened to meet a less stereotypical, ultra-religious Muslim who did not seek violence. So yes, I met a religious yet moderate Muslim. Yes, I know the difference between individuals. Yes, I don't lump people together. And yes, I'm Michael Savage. And yes, I'll be right back.
Savage.
Right. The Middle East is burning and the liberals are celebrating it as though it's a good thing and it's somehow a democracy. They don't understand what's at stake here. It's clear to me that if Mubarak and the Egyptian military cannot suppress this so-called revolution, then Al-Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood, which is one and the same, will eventually take control of Egypt. The domino effect, my brilliant friends in Brooklyn, will be Islamists ruling Yemen, who will then take down the House of Saud. Oil prices will go up. They'll skyrocket. They're up 4% today. As the two Islamic forces, Sunni, that's Al-Qaeda, and Shia, the Ayatollahs, face off. You have to understand that the poverty that the average Egyptian is experiencing now will eventually look like prosperity if this revolution is not suppressed. You have to understand this. Right now, Islam is trying to wrestle with the most powerful secularist Muslim country in the region. Radical Islam is trying to take over the most powerful secularist Muslim country in the region. And yet most liberal Western news outlets are cheering them on in the name of democracy, which is astonishing to listen to. One fool after another. I would have expected this from MSNBC as I heard it last night, and I could not believe what I was hearing. Listen to clip 26. Listen to this one.
Americans think we're on the side of freedom in the world, and they don't understand why there's a lot of anti-American sentiment in the world. A moment like this, when you see the entire population feeling liberated and feeling like it's going to overcome its fear and muster the courage to take on a regime that suppressed it for so long and denied from it the kind of opportunities that, that many of us take for granted, even with the inequities in our society, it's not sustainable to have U.S. government after U.S. government, no matter of what party, being on the wrong side of these aspirations. So how we ride the tiger at this moment...
Shut up. This is a moron from the Washington Post. This is the product of the liberal education that this idiot got and the job he has at the Washington Post. Every code word known to mankind. Liberated, legitimate grievances, denied opportunities, not sustainable, America no good. Celebrating the revolution. But it's no different from what you're about to hear on the Savage Nation. You're going to hear the voice of a community organizer from Chicago who was foisted upon the American people by very powerful interests. Listen.
My administration has been closely monitoring the situation in Egypt, and I know that we will be learning more tomorrow when day breaks. As the situation continues to unfold, our first concern is preventing injury or loss of life. So I want to be very clear in calling upon the Egyptian authorities to refrain from any violence against peaceful protesters.
Let's stop right here. This is one of the dumbest speeches I've ever heard in my life. If he was going to speak at all, he should have said that we cannot afford to have our strongest ally in the Middle East be overtaken for whatever reason. While we're in favor of a democracy movement, we fear that the Islamists inside Egypt will take advantage of this. We're going to control the chaos by supporting Mubarak. We're going to send President Mubarak whatever he needs. We're going to send the 101st Airborne into Egypt. We're going to send a fleet off the Egyptian coast. We're going to do whatever it takes to suppress this revolutionary movement that is occurring in Egypt, because he is our friend and has been for over three decades, and he's given great stability to the Middle East and, of course, to the passage of ships through the Suez Canal. That's what we would have expected from a leader who actually wanted stability in the Middle East. I'll let you ask yourself why he didn't say that. Many of you are wondering how a president could not support our ally in Egypt. How is it possible? I told you that if Egypt falls, and if then Yemen falls, the Islamic fundamentalists will control the Suez Canal on both sides. Do you have any idea what this will mean for unemployment in Egypt? Do you have any idea what food prices will become in Egypt? Do you think that what they are suffering now will get better or worse if the Islamists take over Egypt? Have you people no idea what you're dealing with here? That MSNBC permits these idiots to get up there and support a revolution without thinking through what they're talking about? Or is Mr. Immelt somehow going to capitalize on this revolution? Is this all a plot? You want me to really get into this now? Is this a plot by the greenies, those who are going to sell trillions of dollars worth of carbon credits and green products to drive oil prices up to $200-$300 a barrel, to make gasoline $10 a gallon so that people give up their cars and their internal combustion engines and move to so-called green technology? Is this something bigger than we can think? Is there much more to this than meets the eye? Because something's wrong with the picture that we'd have a complicit liberal media, a liberal media complicit with the U.S. government, a radical U.S. government, in almost celebrating the downfall of our strongest ally in Egypt. Something is wrong with the picture. And the only nation that's supporting this revolution is Iran. The Ayatollahs, the Hitlers of Iran, are supporting this revolution in the streets of Egypt, along with the people from the Washington Post, Time Magazine, the New York Times, and the other denizens of Red Diaper Dopa Babies. Boston, Jay, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello there, and I got to tell you, you are the best people to have around on any airwaves, and I really mean it. I'm coming.
I hear. All right. I'm glad that you enjoy the show, but what's your main point tonight, Jay?
A year and a half ago, when the country of Iran, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, was being challenged by his protesters and
yes.
all over on the internet and the TV and that
yes.
young woman who was shot in the head. Iran
yes.
cut off all communications with the outside world, the internet, TV, and
yes.
our dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama, went on our airwaves tonight stating we as the government will not comment on the ongoing unrest.
That's right. Why wouldn't he stand up for the pro-democracy movement in Iran during that period when they needed the support of America? Where was Hillary Clinton when they needed her? Where was the U.S. when they needed her? Why were they not speaking out against the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad? I understand all of this. I understand all of this. I understand all of this. Sacramento, Chris, you raise a very good point. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yes. With the friendship between Israel and Egypt, do you think Mubarak would ask for help from Israel since it's the same thugs that both are fighting? And does this give a nod from our incompetent leader to China to go after Taiwan because we're going to vote present and not be there?
Wow. Well, that's a double question. I don't even want to talk about the Taiwan question because it's a separate issue. I don't believe Israel would dare get involved with so much as a 22 caliber pistol in this issue. It would be the biggest mistake they could ever make. There's absolutely no chance Israel will get involved in this. However, should Egypt fall in the hands of the fools with cell phones, who will then be thrown over the side by the Muslim Brotherhood, should, God forbid, they seize Egypt, there will be a war in the Middle East as sure as I'm sitting here. If the Muslim Brotherhood gets control of the Egyptian army, all the peace that we have seen, all of the relative stability we have seen will go up in smoke. I actually heard a fool on MSNBC from the Washington Post saying, we hope this happens in Jordan as well. Do they have any idea what they're talking about? Do they understand that without the stability of Jordan and Egypt, the entire Middle East goes up in flames, that we could have a nuclear war? Do they not understand any of this?
They most certainly do. All I can say is another round of seltzer for the left.
Well, I don't know who's running the country when I see this community organizer give such a tepid speech. It's very worrisome. But you have to understand that one way or the other, Obama's responsible for this. Charles in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Master of figures of speech in the media, the new Uncle Sam, the community agitator, has a contradictory foreign policy regarding our foreign government allies and our foreign government enemies and domestic policy-wise regarding free speech. I'm here to clarify and add to what you said. The American people...
But you got to do it in 30 seconds, Charles. I'm sorry. I'm almost out of time.
Yes, the policy, the Iranian people, he did nothing to help the Iranian people. But
no, why didn't he help the pro-democracy movement in Iran? Why is he now suddenly helping the so-called pro-democracy movement in Egypt when behind the pro-democracy movement in Egypt are the radical Islamists, while behind the pro-democracy movement in Iran was actual democracy? The answer is because there's something wrong with the whole picture. The answer is because something is wrong with the whole picture. And it isn't that liberalism is a mental disorder. It's far more dangerous than that. There's another hour of the Savage Nation coming up. I hope you'll stay tuned. And then there's an entire weekend to sit and watch this. I would wager that most of America will be watching the Stupid Bowl, eating popcorn, getting drunk, and paying no attention whatsoever to the world on fire. I cannot say the same for myself.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. streets of Cairo are burning. What you have to understand here is that we have never seen... What you have to understand now is that this has happened before. There is a parallel to what is going on in Egypt. In the past, we had another communist left-wing president named Jimmy Carter. What did Jimmy Carter do? He pushed reform in Iran. What happened? He undermined the Shah of Iran, who was an authoritarian dictator who kept the radical Muslims suppressed. It is true. And guess what happened after Jimmy Carter pushed reform in Iran? Ayatollah Khomeini brought us the Islamist Iranian government and the American hostage situation for 444 days. It's Jimmy Carter all over again. And now, to top it off, now we see American left-wing media types celebrating the riots in the streets of Egypt, talking about democracy, as though Al-Qaeda will bring democracy to Egypt. Or shall I say the Muslim Brotherhood will bring democracy to Egypt. The idiotic liberals are celebrating the descent of Egypt into radical Islam. It's beyond comprehension. And the New York Times, the most they could say is, with Muslim Brotherhood set to join Egypt protests, religion's role may grow. They're calling radical Islam a religion now. These are the same vermin who hate Christianity, hate Judaism, but suddenly speak with such glowing respect for radical Islam that gave a suicide bombing as suddenly a respectable aspect of religion. My friends, you have to understand what's going on. This all started as a result of the WikiLeaks cable leaks to Tunisia and then the leaks about Egypt. If you study this carefully, you will see that President Mubarak believed that Washington's past pressure for change caused chaos in the Middle East, which is what I just said to you. Today, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, speaking as the protests rocked Egypt for a fourth day, said it was absolutely vital for Cairo to embrace political and social change, as the United States has been pushing for years. What rubbish! What does she think she is talking about? What kind of social change? Radical Islamic social change? If you study the cables that were released by WikiLeaks, you'll see that Obama has guided the United States to warmer ties with Egypt by avoiding the public name and shame tactics of his predecessor, George W. Bush, while urging political reforms in private. Sounds good, doesn't it? But Mubarak viewed U.S. pressure very skeptically. Mubarak believed ill-advised U.S. pushes for reform in the Middle East produced colossal mistakes. From the ouster of the Shah of Iran by Jimmy Carter to the election of Hamas Islamists in Gaza. So when you hear democracy and the will of the people, be very careful what you're talking about. Democracy is not the same in all parts of the world. You need an educated electorate for a democracy. You need a civilized electorate for a democracy. Take a look at what we have for a president here as a result of democracy. Fact of the matter is, Obama has given us this wreckage. If you study this very carefully, you will see that this is a repeat of what happened in Iran. You will see that the Muslim Brotherhood is Egypt's largest opposition group and favors a return to very strict Islamic religion, away from the secularism of the Mubarak government. And yet the vermin on MSNBC, the vermin on CNN, the vermin on NBC are celebrating the demise of Mubarak and the arrival of a radical Islamic force in Egypt, our only ally in that major area. Would they like to see Saudi Arabia fall and then Jordan fall? Yes, they would. And what's that going to trigger? A nuclear war. This is the most astonishing thing I've ever seen in my life. I knew liberalism was a mental disorder, but I never knew it was this suicidal. More to come on the Savage Nation. There's much more about this on the Savage Nation. There'll be much more over the weekend. The riots are now spreading from Tunisia and Egypt to Yemen, where thousands of so-called people gathered in this banner to demand democracy, democratic reform. Do these people understand that democracy is not always good? That democracy does not work in a throwback nation? Democracy can only work in a nation that is civilized and has educated people? Yes, no, no, yes, you name it. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There's so much more to talk about. Radical Islam is on the rise around the world. It's being spread by Iran, the most despotic nation on the planet. Incidentally, the very same vermin on MSNBC and CNN who were just giddy over the riots in Egypt, where were they when the small Iranian protest movements arose about a year or two ago in Iran? How come they didn't broadcast those pictures? How come they didn't support the Iranians in the streets? How come they didn't talk down Ahmadinejad? Why are they talking down Mubarak, our only friend in that area? Why are they putting down Mubarak, and why did they put up Ahmadinejad? What is the connection between radical Islam and the communists in the media and the communists around the world? If you don't see the connection, you are hopeless, but you will be doomed by your own stupidity. Also on the Savage Nation today, I met a religious yet moderate Muslim, which I will talk about later on. All this and more on MichaelSavage.com. There are many, many other stories we have to touch upon on the show. I don't dare summarize them in such short paragraphs, but is this the end of peace around the world? The Cairo protesters are now defying the curfew. The army is in the streets. Some of them are throwing away their uniforms and joining the protesters. Is the USA secretly backing the uprising? If so, why? Does this prove definitively that Obama is a stealth radical Muslim who was put in here by the radicals? Something is so wrong with this picture, I don't even know where to begin. Yes, I do know where to begin, my friends. It seems to me the U.S. is secretly backing the uprising, and it seems to me if they are doing so, they want the Muslim Brotherhood, and it seems to me if they do want the Muslim Brotherhood, they want radical Islam to spread, and if they do want the radical Islamic regimes to spread, what does that tell you about Obama? What does it tell you who he is? What does it tell you about Obama and his minions? They talk about reform in Egypt? They say we support reform and progress and the greatest strengthening of the democracy and civil rights and the rule of law. What the hell are they talking about? Where is their democracy and civil rights in Iran? It's radical Islam, you morons. And yet you hear the same thing coming out of David Cameron of England or Hillary Clinton or Obama themselves. The fact of the matter is either they are absolutely clueless fools or they themselves are Islamists or fronts for Islamists. I think Obama is Dr. Strangelove. I believe that WikiLeaks is part of a plot to turn the world into even more more chaotic state than it already has. And by the way, are you in favor of abandoning Israel to her bloodthirsty Islamic neighbors? Do you want to abandon Israel to her Islamo-fascist neighbors? Do you think it's time to cancel our aid to Egypt? What do you think is going on here? The fact of the matter is, if you don't know what is going on, don't pretend you have an opinion. You better study the causes and the effects of what you're calling for. I just want to summarize this very simply. Democracy cannot work in a nation where the people are living in the 5th century, 6th century, 15th century, or 16th century. Democracy is a very fragile form of government. It requires a loyal population. It requires a civil population. It cannot work in a barbaric population. That's it on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I'd like to invite you to call if you've been listening, 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website, which has many of the stories I have touched upon. I think the safest course of action right now is to play Baby It's Cold Outside. Al Gore turns out to be not only a liar, but a thief, in my opinion. There's clearly no global warming. It's global cooling. Either he's a lunatic or a liar. In either case, he should be arrested. Talk about a congressional investigation. Yeah, right. And investigate Al Gore. That's like investigating the bankers who stole the trillions of dollars and then claimed the crisis was caused by a systemic collapse. They caused the collapse. WOR New York, welcome to the show. Go ahead, Sue.
Hello, Michael. I've spoken to you once before. I just want to let you know I'm a military vet that's retired after 25 years, critical care nurse almost 30 years. I'm fighting cancer right now full-time and so far successfully so. And I want to let you know that you have been sounding a little despondent. I fear for your health, and I just wanted to know that you're...
Well, now, wait, are you a psychiatric nurse? Then I'll take you seriously. See, at least you got a sense of humor.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I think they're about the same, but ER nurses see plenty of psychs. In any case, I just...
Don't worry about my health. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I'm in good shape. I had a day off because I got a little food poisoning from a little local Chinese guy who I know 20 years, smiles at me and gives me some contaminated seafood every once in a while. That's all. You know, he figures, why not? Why not? The moron will keep buying. He'll keep giving me the sewer shrimp. You know what I mean? If I'm stupid enough to buy from him, why not give it to me again?
I don't know. You're talking about being laid up with numb extremities, so it sounded a little...
Yeah, no, that was odd, though. It was within 6 hours, my extremities were ice cold. I had to wear gloves, and my face turned red, and it was hot, and I ran a fever. That's classically food allergy, isn't it?
I wouldn't say that's classic, no.
what is it, then? I'm not Al Capone. It can't be syphilis.
No, it's not syphilis. It sounds menopausal to me, but no.
Oh, a hot flash. Thank you. That was really a nice setup. Just kick me right in the face next time, darling.
You got to realize I'm a little crude and rude. It's just part of the profession. But
I don't mind. I can handle it. So, I mean, what are those symptoms? In your mind, if you're a trauma nurse and I come in and I said I ate Chinese food, went on the air that day, took an Alka-Seltzer during the show, complaining of indigestion, and that night I had to run home with ice-cold hands, had a fever, my face was red, and stayed in bed for a day. What is that?
Yeah, maybe it's the MSG and some vasodilation thing going on with your face, but then you got the shunting from the extremities. So, as long as you're okay today, we're all right.
No, I came back pretty good. I mean, for a guy, you know, who's been around for almost 7 decades, I'm in, I don't want to, you know, knock wood, but I mean, so far, so good.
Yeah.
Most guys 50 are on 7 medications, you know what I mean? And I'm not boasting. I know tomorrow it could be another story. I could have the transfusion tree and the walker. I know how that works.
Exactly.
You got to laugh mortality in the eye. You got to laugh fate in the eye. But most importantly, you got to laugh the government in the eye. Because when you have a government like this that's so corrupt and inept at the same time, it's very, very dangerous. But the minute you get frightened of it, it's going to get worse. I'm telling you, that's how I see it. You cannot let these people frighten us. That's the most important message I take from it all.
Absolutely not. And
you want to hear something interesting? They all sat together, which was really a disaster as far as I'm concerned, to see the pink shirts of the Republicans sitting next to the red shirts, the Democrats, really sickened me, because we used to have a phrase, the other side of the aisle. There was a reason that they were divided. There was a reason that the brilliant ancient white guys created a divided house. There was a reason we had a separation of the two parties. There was a good reason for it. And the day they're all sitting together and loving each other is a day that they've merged into one, and that scares the heck out of me. I got to tell you that.
Yeah, no one's allowed to argue anymore. It's just not the...
They're supposed to argue with each other. That's what they're paid for. They're not supposed to get along and screw us behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? So don't worry so much about my health, okay? Thank you for thinking about me. I appreciate it. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Florida Tom, speaking of doctors, you're on the air. What's on your mind, Tom?
Yeah, hi. I'm a physician here in St. Pete, Clearwater, but I think I know what's wrong with you, what kind of poisoning you had.
No, I'm serious. Give me a diagnosis on the air.
Okay. Now, did the seafood, did it have any fish in it?
Oh, yeah, it was allegedly scallops.
Okay. Well, now what happens is if you get old fish that has been allowed to defrost and then heat back up, certain fishes have an extra amount of histamine in it. And when you eat it, the histamine's released and you get the flushing, you know, the red face, the tingly fingers. And
yes.
A lot of times people get nausea, abdominal cramping, diarrhea.
Yeah. Yes.
Like classical scromboid, scromboid, lasts about 24 hours, and it's just
exactly the symptomology. And you know what kills me about it is I've eaten in this guy, smiles to my face, and I ask him over and over again, where are the scallops from? He says, oh, they're from Boston. Another friend of mine says many scallops are not scallops. They're pressed out of the skate wings, number one. But in either case, it could be contaminated seafood in plain English. And I recognize that. Most seafood today, I'm afraid of it.
Yeah, you got to be careful. And sometimes it'll have a metallic taste. So if you
know it didn't have it this time. He disguised it very well with his sauce.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. You can't really tell. But look that up. That's classical scromboid. I think that's
unbelievable. You know, I'm so angry. It's not the first time. I've had trouble with him before with fish. But I stopped eating fish. I like the guy. So I said, where's your fish from? He says, from Vietnam. I said, I'll never eat it. don't sell me fish from Vietnam. I won't eat it. You know, there's a local fish market I go to. I buy my fish fresh the way my aunt did, where I look at it and smell it. I'm not ashamed to smell it. That's how I know if it's fresh. I look at it and I smell it. You don't know what you're getting in restaurants. You know, when I was young, you know, at seafood restaurants, the waiter would come out with the fish you picked and they'd let you look at it and smell it, because everybody knew that most restaurants sold garbage unless you inspected it. People were smarter then. They demanded more out of a restaurant than they do today. Doctor?
Yeah, but the only thing, the other one it could be is Ciguatera, C-I-Q-U-I-T-E-R-A, but that would have lasted a little longer, and that's a neurotoxin, only from eating, like, reef fish. But you probably didn't have that because you're recovered.
No, I lived in Fiji for years, and I would recognize that one, but I'll tell you, the red face and the fever, and what worried me the most was the loss of circulation in my fingers. I had to wear gloves in bed, would you believe it?
That's pretty classical scromboid, if I'm saying.
I did nothing for it, truthfully, other than not eat and lay in bed.
That's all you can do. Just keep hydrated, and it'll go away.
Yeah, I'm so well that I'm going to have a bottle of red wine tonight.
Yeah, you're perfectly back to normal now.
Oh, absolutely. I'm ready to go for the Italian red, the Super Tuscan with a little... I tell you right now, it's no more shellfish. The kosher food laws are starting to look better to me.
Savage.
You've heard me talk about an article from AutoNews.com where they talk about my recent interview with Donald Trump. Joining us now is the Executive Vice President of the Auto Channel, Mark Roush. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation. When it comes to political talk, most people don't think of the Auto Channel. What made you write this piece about my interview with Donald Trump?
Well, you know, Michael, at the Auto Channel, we try to take a position that looks at the entire automotive industry. And the automotive industry, which is the largest and most important industry in the world, is affected, greatly affected by trade, obviously, by what's going on in Washington, by politics. And so we feel we have to and we should comment on those kinds of things. So we typically editorialize quite a lot on political affairs, especially, again, as it relates to OPEC, oil, gasoline, and the economy. And one of the things that we believe is that in order for the economy to get better, there has to be a reason. Well, just to say that we want the economy to be better doesn't give that reason. It's not a reason. And certainly the pumping in of money doesn't in itself solve the economy's problems. There has to be a reason. And so we look at it to say, well, the reason in this case has to be that the world's most important industry has to get up and running. And so that's why we look at these things, and that's why we comment on these things.
Did you hear something in my interview with Donald that made you consider him for president?
Yes. In fact, the funny thing is, as soon as I turned on the radio and turned on your show, I heard this voice say something to the effect about OPEC. How come every time the oil prices go up, no one's criticizing OPEC? And it made me laugh because that's exactly the position that we take. And I knew the voice wasn't your voice, Michael, but I wasn't 100% sure who it was until you said something to the effect of, well, Mr. Trump, I think you're going to run for president. So then I continued to listen to the interview. As I said in my story, I haven't really been a fan of Donald Trump's over the years. I certainly have known of the family. I've known of who the family is all these years. And like everybody else, we've heard all about Donald Trump's adventures over the years. And it wouldn't have meant anything to me that he was going to run for president. However, as he talked, and I found that, my God, these are all the things that I agree with. As he's enumerating his feelings about China, the trade situation with China, the trade situation with Korea, as he's talking about the how our Navy, how our military should be reimbursed for all of the expenses, how the government should be reimbursed, how we should have tariffs on various items that we're importing. Those are all things that I agree with, and especially Trump talked about having a very strong military and so on, and I'm completely in agreement with that. So as I listened, I just became sort of more and more surprised that instead of just hearing Donald Trump talking about silly things having to do with the rest of his life, he's talking about things that I think are of critical importance to the United States, to the world, frankly, and he was articulating them in exactly the way that I would have articulated them, and I think even, Michael, how you articulate the points.
What kind of feedback have you received so far?
Surprisingly positive, in much the same way that I was surprised to hear what Donald Trump had to say. I think that some of the other people who haven't heard him articulate these positions, I think that they're surprised. I think, like me, there's a bit of a giggle up front, and then you suddenly get past that and you say, well, wait a second, that's a point that I agree with. That's something that I believe with. I believe in.
Do you feel Trump has a legitimate chance?
Well, that's a really good question, because I never thought, I was one of those who thought that Barack Obama was unelectable until August 3rd, 2008, when he gave a major energy policy speech. And in fact, I wrote an article shortly after he concluded his speech in which I said, in my opinion, my estimation, that might be the thing that gets him elected, because it was very well spoken, in my opinion, in terms of what has to happen in the United States to our economy, to energy, to alternative fuels, and so on. And look, he won the election. Now, whether or not it was specifically because of that energy policy speech, I don't know. But I think it certainly turned me around. Now, it did not make me a supporter, frankly, of Barack Obama. There were many, many other issues that I had, none the least of which was that I just felt that he was not experienced for the job. But having no experience hasn't seemed to stop other people from running and winning the presidency. In any event, so with that in mind, could Donald Trump win? Well, I mean, he's somebody who has certainly a great deal of national attention, international attention. I sort of remember back to the way, way back to the old television show Laugh-In, when they had this guy who would come on every so often who was supposedly out of politics by the name of Richard Nixon. And it seemed to me that, you know, his appearance on Laugh-In brought him back into public attention, and the next thing we know, we had Richard Nixon as president. So could Donald Trump's, you know, all of his activities put him into the White House? It's possible, and I think that, again, the positions that he's articulating are the positions that the United States must take. They're the things that not only do we have to take for our own protection, but frankly, and we still are the leader in the free world, it is what we have to do for the rest of the world, and it's what we have to do to get the economy back on track and to bring some sense and sanity back to just everyday life.
What is the Auto Channel all about? I'm a big auto fan.
The Auto Channel is the Internet's largest and most comprehensive automotive information resource. We've been online since 1995. We have been the pioneers in very many things, including streaming video. We were the very first very first website to ever use streaming video on the Internet. And we have been leaders and pioneers the entire way. Our position on the Auto Channel is to present everything about the automotive industry. We even cover our so-called competition. So if, for example, Motor Trend or Rodent Track was to come out with a particular story and it was of interest, we cover that story. We cover that reporting. Nobody else will do that, certainly. Motor Trend will never talk about what Rodent Track did, and Rodent Track will never talk about Edmonds and so on and so forth. We cover it all. We take a rather objective position, although if we disagree with what they say, we certainly let them know that, and we certainly say that in our statements. And again, because we feel that a healthy automotive industry is so critical to the economy of the United States and to the world, that we look at it, we think we have to take a strong position. Both my business partner and I have had very extensive business backgrounds. We're not children. And we have built many businesses. We have struggled to build businesses. We have been successful, in some cases, in building these businesses. And we think that the experience that we bring to the Auto Channel and to our writing has to do with the fact that we have been through these things and we understand the economics. It's not just a question of that we think that leather, this particular leather in a car is very nice as compared to another leather. We look at it in a much broader perspective. And both Bob Gordon and I, Bob's my business partner, both of us have had and have been political writers as well, and we, outside of the Auto Channel, have made noise in doing those kinds of things. And so the Auto Channel, because we are completely independent, we are not beholden to anyone. We speak our minds. We say what we believe, what we think is exactly right. And if somebody doesn't like it, that's too bad. But if they do like it, then we're real happy that they like it. And it's going back to the Auto Channel for a second. The Auto Channel has over a million pages of content. It's really huge. And when people who don't know about the Auto Channel find it, they're always surprised at how much content we have. We have, as I say, over a million pages of text stories. We then have thousands of videos, thousands of audio files, and we have everything. So people can go back and look at videos from, for example, the LA Auto Show for a dozen years, and we have the complete press conferences. It's not just 30-second or 60-second clips. It's if the press conference was 20 minutes long, the introduction, we have it.
Where can we read more?
The site is theautochannel.com, and sometimes when I say auto, because of my Brooklyn accent, people don't understand, but it's auto, A-U-T-O. So it's theautochannel.com.
Hey, Mark Roush, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. It was great. I'm a longtime listener and first-time interviewee, but it was a great experience, and I love listening to your show.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You're not going to hear elsewhere is what I'm talking about today, which is my campaign to end lab testing on chimpanzees. I've been searching for over a year now, searching my soul, as it were, of what to do with the few good years I may have left on this earth. And the more I have studied this, the more I realize it brings me back to my beginnings in science, where I refused to kill animals. And it really did a lot of good for me, as a matter of fact, by walking out on that bastard's laboratory. By the way, he eventually died of brain cancer. It's a funny thing, which is not to say that everyone who gets brain cancer was torturing animals, but I thought it was quite interesting that this very doctor who threw me out of the lab because I wouldn't kill animals and he knew I had nowhere to go. I mean, he gave me an ultimatum, you know, either you kill the animals or I'm taking back your fellowship. I had nothing, but I always found in life, and I've done this in business too, I've walked out of business deals when I had almost nothing, where there was a lot of money on the table, where I knew my heart would die if I stayed another day in a certain company, and I did this years ago. I won't even tell you the company. And I quit that day and left the city. I didn't even know what tomorrow would bring, and you know what it brought me? Radio. And I have found in my life that whenever I let my instincts, my soul, whatever you want to say, dictate the course of my events. It always works out best for me. And that's why I'm saying I think that we need to focus today as an American people on what's happening to us as people. The Islamo-fascists are dehumanizing the world. When you see them cutting Daniel Pearl's throat and you hear the blood-curdling cry, of course, that's been buried because you're not supposed to remember who they really are. Or when you hear them making him say, I am a Jew, my mother was a Jew, my father was a Jew, and then they cut his head off. Again, you're not supposed to remember any of that. That's one thing. But we must not let the Islamo-fascists dehumanize us. I didn't say don't fight them. In fact, I would say kill more of them would be better than killing less of them. How do you like that? They're not even worth it. But what we can do is remember that we have a responsibility to protect these innocent creatures that God has placed on this earth along with us. There is no need to experiment and torture these chimpanzees anymore. They can use computer modeling. There are other ways to do this. This is a throwback to the 19th century, and many of the people that I have met in my life in animal research are the most sadistic people on the planet, and they use the animals to work out their sadism. You know, and I know many of you are saying, you know, what's he talking about? This is not conservative. A real man, you know, eats animals and kills them. Well, you know what? Say what you want. I'm telling you what I think. That's all. New York City, WOR, Anna, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much, Dr. Savage, for talking about this. It's a testament to your humanity, and if I ever hear a liberal insult you again, I'm just going to bring this up because you have the courage to discuss this issue. These chimps.
Well, I don't know whether it's a liberal conservative issue. I think it's a human issue, and I think this is something that should not unite all of us. I want to be very clear. I believe that we as a species are becoming dehumanized by the Islamo-fascists. When we see how they treat their fellow co-religionists even, blowing up marketplaces, killing fellow Muslims, all in the name of some political ideology that they mask in a religious ideology, we cannot let them dehumanize us. And I'm saying the best way to make to save our humanity is to save the animals. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked to people, friends of mine who work in pharmaceutical companies, though, and similar to what happens with the Islamo-fascists is the way that you get used to working in this field, and it's a dehumanizing practice, you know?
That's right, exactly. Oh, well, I'm just going to go to work today and take a chimpanzee. I'm going to inject them with a tranquilizer. His family members are going to scream in the cages that he was brought in with. As we wheel him out in a gurney and he's helpless, and then when we poke him and prod him and, let's say, maybe blind him, take an eye out of him, you can hear the other animals screaming through the wall because they know what's going on. No, this has to end.
Absolutely, and it's one step.
I'll tell you something. We should see more of these videos rather than fewer. That's all. Remember, I told you I walked out of I want to make it about me, but it is about me. You got to understand it is about me. People have a history in their life, and very often their history is fraudulently altered for political reasons. So this is what I want to do right now. 1-800-449-8255, Kansas City. Mike, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to quote William Blake in support of the great English poet, in support of what you're saying. And it's each outcry of the hunted hare, a fiber from the brain does tear. A horse misused upon the road calls to heaven for human blood. And, you know, what you're really saying, Michael, is what the many of the great Jewish rabbis did in their day to protect society from moving in the direction of the greater sins. They built walls where you knew you were getting in breaking distance of the greater sin. So by being humane to the chimpanzees, what you're really saying is we need to build a wall from sliding into greater inhumanity in our
exactly. We're going to slide into inhumanity to man. Man to man inhumanity is going to get worse and worse until people feel nothing whatsoever. If you combine with what the Islamo-fascists are doing to the human condition, with the drugging of the Western population, which numbs their feelings, people's feelings, they feel nothing or next to nothing. We're very close to experimenting on human beings and saying, oh, who cares? It's only, you know, a human being. And so I don't know. This is coming up in me today. Maybe it's the mood I'm in or whatever. But it really goes back over 30 years to my early days in science when I walked out on that fellowship. I have to remind myself that I did it because I had forgotten about it.
Yeah,
and I thank you for the call. I want to bring something up. The man touched on something about the element of ethnicity here. Many of you have heard of kosher meat, but you don't know what it is. You hear the word kosher means clean, but the word kosher is about ritual slaughter. The animal really is killed in a humane way. You say, well, how can you kill an animal humanely? Well, there's a big difference between killing an animal slowly and killing an animal quickly for food. And I read that the whole purpose of the kosher food laws was not so much about clean. I read this interpretation was not solely about clean food, but it was to maintain the humanity of the early Jews. Because otherwise, if you start slaughtering animals in an inhumane way, you become bestial yourself.